assembled devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, I'd like to welcome Haridham Prabhu. Please stand for a second. Haridham Prabhu is a very dear and illustrious disciple of Srila Mukunda Goswami Maharaj, who often blesses our fortunate temple. And he was especially sent by Srila Mukunda Maharaj to India to coordinate and direct the communications and public relations for the whole nation of Bharatvarsha. So he has a very important service and very vital in Srila Prabhupada's mission. He's also very much experienced, and his heart is very dedicated to seeing the youth of India become Krishna conscious through college preaching and other forms of youth preaching. And he is very dear to all Vaishnavas wherever he goes. So let us welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath's temple. Today is a very holy day. It is the day of the appearance of the eternal consort of Lord Sri Ramchandra into this material world, Sita Devi. And it is also the appearance day of the eternal consort of Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Janava Devi. With your permission, for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, I would like to make some very insignificant and desperate attempt to describe but a drop of the unlimited ocean of glories of Sri Janava Devi, who is one of the most important acharyas of our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. We should understand through the principle of Janava Devi's life how pure devotional service and preaching the glories of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transcends all material conceptions. Although in this land of India and traditionally throughout the world, women generally assume by their own shy, chaste nature a subordinate role in social functions, responsibilities. But Janava Devi, who is the very reservoir of the purest degree of chastity and faithfulness to her beloved husband, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, due to her exalted spiritual qualifications and the desire of the Vaishnavas, she became the prominent leading acharya amongst all the acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita and Srivas. She was so exalted that even the greatest of the Goswamis worshipped her, bowed at her lotus feet. And she initiated many, many of the most exalted disciples. Many were brahmacharis, sannyasis in the renounced order, grihasthas, because she had the power to give Krishna prema to anyone who surrendered at her lotus feet. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked by a journalist in a challenging way, can a Can a woman be a guru in your movement? And Srila Prabhupada's reply was, yes. If they have the qualifications, they could be guru. And an example of this Prabhupada gave in our history is Janava Devi, who was not only a guru, but the guru of all the other gurus in our disciplic line. So I'd like to try to explain something. One of the great eternal associates of the Lord who descended from the spiritual world was named Suryadas Sarakela. He had five brothers, of which he was the eldest. One of those brothers was the great Goridas Pandit, one of the most intimate associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was actually Subal in Krishna's Leela. He was a treasurer under the king, and therefore his title was Sarakela. Suryadas's beloved and devoted wife was named Bhadravati, and they had two beautiful daughters. One was Janava and one was Vashudha. They grew up in a village in Bengal of the name of Shaligram. Later on, we find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela how he had taken sannyas in Katwa and he went to Jagannath Puri. In a secluded place, he sat with Nityananda Prabhu. He instructed Nityananda Prabhu that he should go to Bengal and preach. He explained, save and except for him, nobody else could deliver the most sinful, the most fallen souls. And he also told Nityananda Prabhu that he should marry. This was an important instruction, because Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much setting example on every level of how everyone must live purely according to his particular varna and ashram in Krishna consciousness. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a grihastha, he was the most perfect ideal grihastha, following the systems of grihastha life in pure devotional service to its perfection, as an example for others to follow. What great people do, the common men follow. Krishna explains in Gita that even he does work, although the Supreme Lord has no work to be done. But he said, if I cease to do work when I am in this world, then the whole world will follow and everything will be destroyed. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see that as a grihastha, although thousands, millions of people were taking to the Harinam Sankirtan movement, under his most blessed direction, they were raising their arms and chanting the holy names. But many people who were sannyasis, who were very, very learned pundits and scholars, who were atheistic, Brahmins of very high categories, they were criticizing the Lord. They would not listen to his teachings because they considered him ordinary like them. So to reach the most blasphemous and envious people of the world, the most proud, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his most beloved and caring wife, Sachi Devi, and his supremely faithful and devoted wife, Vishnupriya, and he accepted the renounced order of sannyas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to show people how a sannyasi should live and the principles they must stand by, he very, very strictly followed the etiquette of a sannyasi. But to reach the most sinful and fallen souls, you have to go to the most sinful and fallen places. And if a sannyasi goes there, he will be criticized by the general public. Nityananda Prabhu was in the renounced order of life. When he was 12 years old, he left home and he was living like a brahmachari in total renunciation, traveling everywhere. He didn't start his preaching until he came to Navadvip, when he got the instruction from his eternal master and lord, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Then he began his preaching. And it was he that delivered even the two dacoits, Jagai and Madhai. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking this, that in order to reach the most fallen, you have to go to places that are not proper for sannyasis to go. So you should marry. Through this principle, we understand that varna and ashram and Krishna consciousness is based on how we could best serve. It is not that one varna is high and one varna is low. It is not that brahmacharis should think, I am better than grihasthas because they are attached to women and houses. Or grihasthas should think we are better than brahmacharis because they are so useless they cannot maintain a job and they're depending on us for our donations. In Krishna consciousness, all the varnas and ashrams are working together with utter respect, knowing that we are given a particular status in society according to our propensities and how we could best serve the mission. There is a need for first-class brahmacharis, not lazy fools who just like to sleep and eat prasad. Brahmacharis should be working as hard as anyone in society in total simplicity and renunciation to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. And there is a great need for first-class grihasthas who are setting a standard of how to make a whole family Krishna conscious by putting Krishna in the center, by making your house a temple, by preaching, by being exemplary in your occupation and giving a portion of that to assist in the propagation of devotion in the world. So in this way, Krishna consciousness, we are not concerned with varna or ashram. We are concerned simply with the quality of one's devotional service and dedication to Lord Chaitanya's mission. And we honor and respect that principle. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu was told by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to marry. And then along with his devotees, he went from Jagannath Puri to Bengal. And we have discussed the wonderful Leela of how he and Goridas Pandit and Abhiram Gopal and so many of his devotees, Raghunath Vaidya, Udaran Thakur, how they just inundated everyone and everywhere with the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Suryadas, Sarakela, and Bhadravati were two completely pure and eternal associates of the Lord. And Vishuddha and Janava, the two daughters, were approaching marriageable age. So he was very much meditating on who possibly could be a suitable husband for such lovely and devoted young ladies. They were both personifications of all transcendentally good qualities. The beauty of their bodies was unparalleled. The sweetness of their personalities and characteristics were supremely attractive to all. And their devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead was beyond description. So he was meditating on the marriage of his daughters. And according to Narahari Chakravarti in Bhakti Ratnakar, it describes how Suryadas was resting one night and he had a wonderful dream. In this dream, he saw the beautiful form of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who was decorated with wonderful clothing and jewels, and he was manifesting his divine opulences of Lord Balaram himself. And the beauty of Sri Nityananda Prabhu was so majestic and so sweet simultaneously. And just at that time he saw, as Nityananda Prabhu was sitting on a beautiful raised platform, on his right side and his left side was Suryadas's two daughters, Yashodha and Janava. He saw that they were actually in the process of being married. In this dream he saw the marriage of his two daughters, and as they were sitting together with Nityananda Prabhu, it was revealed to him that Yashodha was Balaram's consort Varuni and that Janava Devi was Balaram's consort Revati, and they were his eternal associates. So he was in ecstatic bliss, because Suryadas Sarakela was especially a devotee who had surrendered his life to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So the next morning he was in such ecstasy to think of this possibility of his daughters marrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, that he sent a message with one Brahman to Navadvip, the house of Srivas, because Nityananda Prabhu was staying at that time at the house of Srivas Pandit. And when the news came that Suryadas Sarakela was begging Sri Nityananda Prabhu to accept his two most blessed daughters in marriage, Srivas, Adwaita, Murari Gupta, they all began dancing in ecstasy, chanting the holy name. When Nityananda Prabhu heard this from all the devotees and saw their enthusiasm, with a very loving and grateful heart, he accepted the proposal. And then Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Murari Gupta, all of the devotees who were still surviving, they all went to the place where the marriage was to be performed. It is explained that one devotee who was the son of a king, his name was Krishna Das, he decided that Nityananda Prabhu's marriage with Janava and Yashodha should be the most grand, opulent and wonderful celebration for everyone to come to become purified. So whatever money he had, he volunteered to use it for that wedding. In fact, his home and all of his property, he put, what is it, when you take loans? He mortgaged everything. I don't know what they called it in those days. But he promised his home, all of his property, everything could be used as a promise to pay back the large, large sum of money. He gave everything he had. And the devotees of Navadvip, they all went ahead and they decided they should begin this marriage with very, very wonderful ecstatic sankirtan, because they knew there was nothing that pleased Lord Nityananda Prabhu more than the loud, wonderful dancing and chanting of Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
So as Nityananda Prabhu was walking, Suryadas Sarakela was waiting at the road for him. And as Sri Nityananda Prabhu came, Suryadas just bowed down in his full dandavats, offering his repeated obeisances again and again, and worshipped the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And in this way, the glorious wedding took place, to the great ecstatic pleasure of all of the Vaishnavas. And especially, the marriage was accompanied constantly by the congregational chanting of Krishna's names. Janava Devi, she is Revati, the consort of Balaram, but also it is said by the acharyas that she is Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, who was always constantly assisting the wonderful love affairs of Radha and Krishna in Braj Leela. So they settled in a very beautiful and holy place called Karadaha. And soon after, Vasudha had two children from Lord Nityananda Prabhu. One was named Birbhadra, and the other was named Ganga Devi. And Birbhadra was the incarnation of Chirodakshayi Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And later we find out in history of Vaishnavism that Birbhadra became one of the most powerful, exalted and pure preachers that had ever appeared within this earth. He established the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu in such a way that he brought faith, courage and fearlessness to all Gaudiya Vaishnavas everywhere. And Ganga Devi was the incarnation of Ganga Devi, the river Ganges, the presiding deity. After some time, although Janava and Vasudha served Sri Nityananda Prabhu and assisted him in every possible way in his preaching, Janava never had any children. Nityananda Prabhu's life and soul was simply to give Krishna to others, give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and the name of Gauranga to the world. And his two beloved consorts, Janava and Vasudha, their life was exclusively dedicated to simply pleasing him by assisting him in his preaching mission. In this way, they exhibited the ultimate perfection of the highest duty of a wife. Although they were performing all of their domestic duties in the most perfect way, it was all for one purpose: to facilitate their husband in his mission to the Lord. And they encouraged him continuously in his enthusiasm to just go from town to town, to village with his associates, and induce everyone to chant the names of Gauranga and praise the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In this way, by the mercy of this wonderful preaching combination, millions and millions and millions of people's lives were purified, rescued from the miseries of material existence, and elevated to the spiritual world. And therefore, Janava was respected, adored, and worshipped by all devotees. After Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world at the age of 48 in Jagannath Puri, his devotees were immersed, they were plunged in such deep, deep ecstasies of separation that they could not bear to live without him. Soon after, Gadadhar Pandit left, Swarup Damodar Goswami left, Nityananda Prabhu left the world, Advaitacharya left the world, Srivas left the world. And then the devotees from all around turned to Janava to be the leader amongst all of them. Vishuddha had also left her body. And Janava personally took care of these two children. And then she adopted another child, whose name was Ramchandra. And these three children she cared for as the most loving and dedicated mother. And they became such sincere devotees and preachers that the children themselves all begged Janava Devi for initiation. And when the word spread throughout the Vaishnav world that the great and powerful Birbhadra Acharya had taken initiation from Janava, that was a precedent where people from everywhere were coming to receive Diksha initiation at the lotus feet of Sri Janava Devi, whose name is also celebrated as Ishwari in the Vaishnav scriptures. Those great devotees who were the associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who continued living after the disappearance of Lord Nityananda, they very much took shelter of Janava Devi and accepted guidance from her. There is that wonderful story of how Narottam Das Thakur, after returning from his education under Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan, he went to his own village called Keturi Gram. By that time, Narottam Das Thakur's father, who was the king of the village, he had left this world, and Narottam was the only son. He was meant to be the king. But in his absence, his cousin brother, whose name was Santosh Dutt, he became the king. And Narottam Das initiated Santosh Dutt and inspired him to have the first Gaur Purnima festival, to invite devotees of Lord Chaitanya from everywhere to come to Keturi Gram to celebrate the wonderful appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he called Srinivas Acharya and Shamananda from Ambika Kalna and Jajigram to come. And the three of them, along with Santosh Dutt, made wonderful, wonderful arrangements. And they were sending beautiful, handwritten, poetic invitations by personal messengers to all the Vaishnavas everywhere of Lord Chaitanya. And it was announced, the presiding personality over this festival will be the senior most of all Vaishnavas, Srimati Janava Devi. And when she heard of this wonderful Gaur Purnima festival, the first time devotees from all over are going to assemble to glorify Lord Chaitanya on his birthday, she was in ecstatic bliss. And she called an entourage of some of the greatest Vaishnavas who were taking shelter of her to travel together. One of them was Vrindavan Das Thakur, the original author of the biography of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. He was personally trained and educated by Nityananda Prabhu. And he was very much in the shelter of Janava's lotus feet. And she loved him like her own son. So they began their entourage of traveling. And they were going to village, visiting other places where there were devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And practically all of them joined the entourage of Janava Devi. They went to Santipur, Achyutananda and others. One thing I would like to go back a little to tell you is after the marriage of Janava Devi and Vasudha with Lord Nityananda Prabhu, after the wonderful, wonderful celebration, Nityananda Prabhu took them both to Navadvip. And they went to the house of Sachimata, who was still living then. And when Sachimata, she loved Nityananda as her own son. We have heard so many pastimes how she considered she had two children, Gaur Nitai. And when she saw the beautiful, virtuous qualities of the two wives of Nityananda Prabhu, she was just overwhelmed in ecstatic love. And she was just embracing these two daughters and just continuously, with tears profusely flowing from her eyes, just showering blessings and blessings and blessings upon them. She was a very older lady. They were two very young ladies. And this was such an emotional scene that no one can control themselves. And all the devotees of Navadvip were just showering blessings on Janava and Vishuddha, because Nityananda Prabhu was their very life and soul. And then Nityananda Prabhu took Vishuddha and Janava to Shantipur, and they went to the house of Advaitacharya. And Sita Thakurani and Advaitacharya, husband and wife, upon seeing Janava and Vishuddha, they were just also showering blessings, weeping tears of ecstatic love, having ecstatic, wonderful kirtans, everything just to encourage these two wonderful, wonderful ladies. So we can understand how much they were loved by all Vaishnavas. And as they were traveling to Khetri Gram, whatever Vaishnavas could possibly go, they all just joined under Janava Devi to travel with her. And when they came to the river Padma, Santosh Dutt had already made all arrangements. Whatever was in his treasury practically, he just wanted to use it to serve the Vaishnavas. He had constructed beautiful boats just for the purpose of bringing Janava Devi and her devotees across the river to Khetri Gram. And he had constructed wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, comfortable houses only for the purpose of accommodating Janava Devi and the other devotees. So when they were brought across the river escort, along with the beautiful chanting of the holy names, and they came to the other bank where Khetri Gram was beginning, there Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda, they all just fell in the dust at the feet of Janava Devi. And with tears in their eyes, they began to worship her with great, great devotion. And Janava Devi, so happy to see them in great love, simply greeted them and worshipped them within her heart. And then they were given, each of Janava Devi's devotees with her, they were all being introduced to the followers of Narottam and Shamanand and Srinivas. They were all given servants. They were all given a place to stay. They were all given wonderful prasad. Vaishnava culture is so wonderful when it is followed properly. The hospitality of Vaishnavism is like nowhere else. Every intimate, intricate need of a guest who is a devotee was met with such care and devotion and such love. Santosh Dutt just put the best of everyone in his kingdom, his ministers, everyone, just humbly serving these devotees with enthusiasm, with love. And Narottam, Srinivas, his disciples, their disciples were just simply, you just serve these devotees, make these Mahatmas happy. That is the perfection of your life. Actually, sometimes devotees, they study books about etiquette and hospitality and how to greet people. If you just study Vaishnava literature, that's all you need. It's the ultimate perfection. But if we don't understand our own culture, then we have to go so many other places to figure out how to deal with people. This wonderful, wonderful greeting ceremony. And everyone was simply so happy to greet each other. And then the day of Gaur Purnima came. And there were six deities that were to be installed in the temple. Srinivas Acharya was performing the Abhishek as the head priest. Beautiful kirtan was going on. And Janava was there. And it is explained she was effulgent like millions of suns. And all the devotees and all of the residents of Khetri Gram, they were all just in complete delight of their hearts, ultimate satisfaction, just seeing Janava Devi presiding in this auspicious function. And after the Abhishek, there was a wonderful kirtan. It was begun by Raghunandan Thakur, the nephew of Narahari. And when he sang in beautiful ragas, the holy names of the Lord, everyone just became intoxicated. And the kirtan was building up and building up and building up in enthusiasm and Krishna prema. And at a certain point it came to that crescendo where Narottam Das Thakur personally began to lead the kirtan. And when Narottam sang, even stones would melt in ecstatic love. And as he sang the beautiful kirtan in praise of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, the devotees became mad. And Janava Devi, amongst all the devotees, was in her supreme state of transcendental happiness, just participating in the wonderful kirtan and the glorification of the holy names. And the devotees were dancing and dancing and dancing for hours upon hours, and they did not get tired, but rather their energy, their vitality, their enthusiasm and their love was ever increasing. And at a certain point, the love of this kirtan was so sweet. The devotees were, their hearts, there were hundreds and hundreds of devotees, their hearts became one in the love and devotion to Lord Chaitanya. There was such unity, such harmony amongst all of them in this kirtan that it attracted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to personally descend along with all of his associates within Khetri Gram. To everyone's great astonishment and amazement, right in the middle of the kirtan, there was Lord Gauranga with his arms raised. Many of these people only heard of him. They had never seen him. They worshipped him with life and soul. He had disappeared from the world, and they were simply condemning their misfortune for never having the opportunity to meet him. And now, years after his disappearance, he appeared again right before their eyes, dancing in his beautiful transcendental golden form. And those devotees who knew Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who worshipped him and were his intimate personal associates, they were bereft in separation, in agony of the ecstasy of love. And there was their beloved master, friend, and lord, again, in a jubilant, smiling form, with his arms raised, leading them all to loudly chant the holy name. And alongside with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Nityananda Prabhu. When Janava Devi saw the beautiful form of her eternal consort, in whom she was suffering inconceivable separation from, again before her eyes, dancing in ecstatic love, there is no description the type of love that awakened within her heart. And when Achyutananda saw his beloved father, Advaitacharya, dancing in ecstasy before him, words cannot describe how in mad, ecstatic trance everyone just went beyond the limits of ecstasy as they all danced together with the Lord's associates, chanting the holy names. And this kirtan went on for hours and hours and hours. And then at a certain time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Haridas Thakur, Murari Gupta, Vakreshwara Pandit, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, they were all there, they all just disappeared. Srivas was dancing. Two of his brothers came with Janava to that place. When they saw their beloved elder brother Srivas dancing, they were in too much ecstasy. But they all disappeared. And then the ecstasy turned into another type of ecstasy. The ecstasy of meeting, sambhoga, and the ecstasy of separation, vipralamba. And they were all just, their hearts just cracked when the Lord and his associates disappeared. They were weeping and crying. But Narottam and the other devotees understood that Krishna is non-different than his name, that Gauranga and all of his entourage are none different than his name. So they all utterly took shelter and found the presence of the Lord within the beautiful sound of his name. After this most historical kirtan, Janava Devi announced to everyone that today is holy, so we should celebrate this wonderful festival for the pleasure of the Lord and his devotees. And everyone became ecstatic. Janava knew how to keep everyone very happy. So she personally arranged for the powders to be distributed amongst the Vaishnavas. And then she began the festival when all the devotees requested her to offer the powders to the deities that were just newly installed. And Janava Devi came forward, and as everyone was watching in great love to the accompaniment of Hari Kirtan, and Janava very, very lovingly decorated all the deities on the altar with the colored powders, and in this way she began the holy celebration. And then all the devotees were very lovingly and sweetly offering powders upon each other. Holi in India today is something different. It's not a festival of love and sweetness. It's a festival of violence, practically. Just bomb. It's like war. They're bombing each other. Nobody likes it. But this holi led by Janava Devi was none different than the holi that Radha Krishna celebrated in the beautiful groves of Vrindavan. The next day, Janava Devi herself led the cooking for the feast for the Lord and his devotees. With her own loving hands, she cooked the most wonderful, wonderful feast. And with her own hands, she brought that feast and offered it to the deities of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. And after offering it with great, great love, she personally served to each of the devotees with her own hands. Janava Devi showed us that even if you are the most prominent, worshipable acharya in all the world, the divine position of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. She cooked for the pleasure of the devotees with her own hands. And she sat them down very nicely, and with her own loving hands she served each preparation to all of the great souls. And upon receiving this food which was cooked and served by Janava Devi, all of the devotees were intoxicated in unending bliss. And each day, Janava Devi would cook, offer it to the deities, and personally serve the devotees. And after she personally fed everyone, then she would personally, with her own hands, serve and feed all the assistant servers. And after they all ate, whoever else was left, she would personally serve them, shift after shift. And finally, the devotees insisted to Janava Devi, please, you take prasad. And on their assistance, after everyone else was fully satisfied, she saw to it that every devotee got whatever preparation they wanted, as much as they wanted, until they were just ultimately satisfied. And when she saw everyone was satisfied by her own hands, then she sat and accepted prasad. After this wonderful festival, the devotees understood they all have to go back to their own places to perform their sadhana and do their preaching. And they were just... It was unbearable for them to leave each other. And especially it was unbearable for all the Vaishnavas to leave the holy presence of Janava Devi. At that time, Janava decided to go to Vrindavan with her entourage of associates. She wanted to go to Braja. As all the devotees were leaving, she just, whoever was left in Khetri Gram, she would cook for them and serve them. When it was time for Srinivasacharya to leave, she cooked for him and served him, treated him like her own beloved child. And he honored her and worshipped her as a guru. And then Ishwari Janava Devi departed with her associates en route to Sri Vrindavan Dham to meet with the great Goswamis and to see the wonderful land of Braja. So they were traveling by foot. And whichever village they were coming to on the way, just upon seeing Janava Devi and hearing her sweet words, propagating the cult of bhakti, people would just surrender to the Lord and become her disciples. Wherever she went, she was just transforming everyone's hearts to Krishna consciousness. And people were coming by the thousands to bow at her lotus feet and receive her mercy. They came to one village, a very, very degraded village. And these people, they all worshipped with very ill motivations the demigoddess Chandi. But there were some pious people there too. So the pious people, they were all coming and bowing down before Janavadevi. And these evil-minded, envious people, they were standing right there, right in front of Janava and all of the Vaishnavas and all of these innocent people. They were simply blaspheming for everyone to hear. So many blasphemes. What is this foolish, ignorant people bowing down to an ordinary woman? Who is she? The wife of a vipra, of a Brahmin. What is her class? This is an offense. People should be bowing down to the goddess Kali and worshipping the demigods. Instead, they are foolishly bowing down and worshipping this ordinary woman. And she is allowing them to do so. She is condemned. And that evening, all of these rascals, they went to the temple of Goddess Chandi. And they prayed to Goddess Kali Chandi that this crazy woman and all of these followers, they are misleading everyone. She's accepting worship. All worship should go to you. Therefore, we pray that on this very night, they all die. They were praying to Chandi to kill Janava and all of her associates. They were praying for their death. They were bloodthirsty rascals. And then they all went to sleep. And when they went to sleep, Chandi Devi appeared in each one of their dreams simultaneously. And she was very angry. She was filled with wrath. She was screaming in anger. And she had her sharp sword in her hand, and she was waving it back and forth over their heads. And in great fury, she began to speak. She said, "You are all fools. You are all demons. You have insulted Janava Devi. You are hoping for her death. You do not know that she is the very consort of Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She is the most worshipable of all people on earth." She said, "I, Chandi, I am her servant. I take the dust of her feet and keep it always on my head. I worship her. She is so merciful. She has descended from the spiritual world just to deliver all the unfortunate, suffering souls from the miseries of material existence. She has descended out of her causeless mercy to bring everyone back home, back to Godhead. Without discrimination, she's giving love of God. And you are insulting her, and you are hoping for her death? I tell you tonight, if you do not surrender at her lotus feet with all humility and follow her words, then with my sword I will chop all of your heads off and see your blood flow." And they were trembling. They were just trembling in fear. Chandi Devi, who had the sword right over their necks. And they all woke up. And each one of them, they all had the same exact dream. They all gathered together and they all were trembling. They were fearful. And they all humbly approached the Vaishnavas and started bowing down and offering obeisances. And they came to Ishwari Janava Devi. And they prayed at her lotus feet that, "We are so sinful. We have blasphemed you. We have criticized you right to your face. And we have contaminated the hearts of everyone we saw with blasphemies of you. And we were praying and planning for your death. But the goddess Chandi has given us the understanding that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead's beloved consort, and all the demigods worship you. and you have come to deliver the most fallen. We are the most fallen. We surrender at your lotus feet. We will give up all of our previous sinful activities and we will follow your order. And Janava Devi, with such love and compassion, she forgave them. Forgave those who wanted to kill her. And she not only forgave them, but she showered the blessings of Lord Nityananda Prabhu upon them. And she taught them right there the science of bhakti and instructed them in the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. By the supreme mercy of Janava Devi, all these materialistic dacoits became pure Vaishnavas. And as they were leaving that village, everyone in the village had become followers of Janava Devi. And they were all weeping and crying in separation to see her leave. In their travels, they stopped near another village and they decided to take rest that night under a tree. And there was a gang of dacoits that saw them. These were very cruel murderers. For these types of people, the life of another is not worth anything. If you can get a few paisas from someone, it's worth killing them. How inconceivably hard the heart can become due to greed and lust and envy. The same heart that the eternal soul is dwelling, which is full of love and full of bliss and full of divine devotion to God. How that heart, with the presence of the Paramatma in the soul, can become so hard. No sensitivity toward the pains or the bloodsheds or the deaths of others if it gives us even the slightest enjoyment. This is the category of dacoits these men were. So when they saw Janava Devi and all of these other devotees, they were thinking that they must have jewels. So tonight, when they are sleeping, we will murder them all and rob them. And they had spies going and joining Janava's party. And the spies came to them, came to the leader of the dacoits, and said, they just finished their Harinam Sankirtan, and now they are all sleeping under the tree. So the leader of the dacoits called all the others in his gang, and they all had very, very sharp, dangerous weapons in their hands, weapons to kill. And they said, now's the time. They're sleeping. And they were just within sight. Janava Devi was just within the sight of these dacoits. And they said, now, let us very quickly run and attack. And they started running. They saw her right before sleeping. They started running. And they ran, and they ran, and they ran, and they ran, and they kept running and running. And it got darker and darker and darker, and they kept running. And then it started getting lighter and lighter, and they kept running, and soon the sun rose. And they were still in the same place. And then the leader of the dacoits realized, after running all night, he realized that Janava Devi must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead's consort. Otherwise, how is it? She's right there and we can't reach her. So they felt very afraid and ashamed of what they had done. And they dropped their weapons and they came before Janava Devi. When they stopped running and they came with folded hands with humility, then it only took a few minutes for them to reach. And they admitted, we wanted to murder you, to kill you, to rob you. But we ran all night, and the only way we can reach you is when we had folded palms and came to surrender. So we surrender to you. Please forgive us. And Janavadevi blessed them with the dust of her lotus feet. And with her kind heart, she forgave them for all of the sins of all of their previous lives and instructed them in the science that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda gave to the world. However sinful and demoniac we may have ever been, if we just give up those sinful activities, serve sincere Vaishnavas, and chant the holy names, we can achieve the highest perfection of love of God. These dacoits not only became pure Vaishnavas, but they started preaching to all the other dacoits. Like a counselor group of dacoits. And the leader of the dacoits, he was just besides himself, glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Janava's kindness. And they were just inducing everyone to chant the holy names. You know, such people, they have such determination and fearlessness of greed for their material sense gratification. When such person just dovetail their propensities under good direction in Krishna service, they could be the best preachers. Nothing could stop them. So they became very empowered preachers. And with the blessings of Janava, they were spreading the Harinam Sankirtan movement all over. And with great difficulty and tears flowing from their hearts, they bade farewell to Janava as she continued the journey to Vrindavan. And she arrived in Mathura. And when she came to Mathura, she first went to the holy place of Vishramghat. And there, along with associates, they all bathed in the holy river Jamuna. The very same place that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu first worshipped Vrindavan was Vishramghat by taking their bath. And then the Brahmins of Mathura, when they heard that Ishwari Janava Devi, the consort of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, has come, they heard that it was happening. They were just jubilant. And they all began to celebrate the appearance of Janava Devi in Mathura. And they all came forward, and they worshipped her, and they honored her. And the best, most beautiful houses in Mathura, they were making it available for her to be comfortable. So they spent the night in the wonderful company of the Mathura Brahmins. And the next morning, they decided to go to Vrindavan. And the message was sent to the Goswamis of Vrindavan that Janava Devi is coming. And they were very, very much anticipating, in love, eager to receive her. And when Janava Devi crossed Jamuna and entered into the vicinity of the forest of Vrindavan, she first came to Akrura Ghat. And it was at that holy place of Akrura Ghat that Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Krishnadas Brahmachari, and so many of the other great Vaishnavas of Vrindavan came to greet her. And when she saw them and they saw her, their eyes were just flooded with tears. And all the Goswamis and their associates, Madhu Pandit was there, the original pujari of Sri Radha Gopinath. They were all just falling in the dust at the feet of Janava Devi. And she was reciprocating with great, great humility and respect and devotion. And Jiva Goswami began to introduce her to all the great devotees of Vrindavan. And then they explained, this place is named Akrura Ghat. This is where Akrura had the great vision of Krishna Balaram as the Supreme Lords of the universe. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our beloved Lord and Master, came to Braja, he did not stay in the village of Vrindavan itself because too many people were coming to him. He wanted a very, very secluded place. So he stayed here at Akrura Ghat. Here he would take his meals. Here he would rest at night. He would go to Imli Tal near Jamuna to chant his japa and meditate on Krishna. He would go to the various homes of the Brijvasis to beg for alms. And then he would come back here again to this most secluded and quiet place. And when Janava Devi heard of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya at Akrura Ghat, she just looked at all of the trees and all of the grass and everything around and the deities that were there. And she just wept and wept in ecstatic love, thinking of her beloved Lord and Master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And then they brought her into the Vrindavan village. It was a wonderful procession. All of the Brijabasis had heard the news that Janava Devi has come. The presiding acharya of all the great acharyas has come to Vrindavan. And they were all anxious for her darshan. So they first went to Radha Damodar temple. And Jiva Goswami greeted her and showed her Radha Damodar, the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami. And Janava Devi, flooded in the ecstasy of love, was worshipping each of these places. And then they arranged a nice place for her to rest. And all the other devotees went to rest. And after some time, all the devotees of Vrindavan, they came to the residence of Ishwari, Janava Devi. And Janava Devi said, I would like to have darshans of all of the Goswami's deities. And they were very happy. Jiva Goswami was there. Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Madhu Pandit. They all started bringing Janava Devi to the various deities of Vrindavan. They went to Sri Govinda temple and worshipped Govinda together in prayers and kirtan. And then they went to the temple of Sri Gopinathji, Madhu Pandit's own personal lord and life. And then they went to Madan Mohan temple of Sri Sanatan Goswami. And then they went to the Radharaman temple, Gopal Bhatta Goswami personally brought to his lord and life, Sri Radharaman. And then Lokanath Goswami and all the devotees, they brought her to Radha Vinod's temple, the worshipable deity of Lokanath Goswami. And it was the very perfection of all these devotees' hearts and lives to bring the beloved consort of the Lord, Janava, before their deities. In all the Brijabasis, the women, the men, everyone, they were all coming to receive the blessings and the love of Janava Devi. And with great humility, she would serve them. She would cook for them. She would personally serve them. She was always giving them blessings. In this way, Vrindavan became a place of rejuvenated, ecstatic love. Vrindavan is always, but in the presence of such a personality, it can ever be increasing. And then the news came to Janava Devi that Raghunath Das Goswami, who was living at Sri Radha Kund, was suffering from such deep separation since the departure of Srila Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami that he was emaciated. He could hardly walk. He was simply in the highest ecstasies of love. He was just weeping and weeping and weeping and constantly chanting the holy names and barely bowing down to everyone he saw. Upon hearing the pitiable condition of the separation of Raghunath Das, Janava Devi said, "Let us go there to see him." He didn't have the strength to come to Vrindavan, so she said, "Let us go there to see him." So the Vrindavan devotees and the entourage of Ishwari, they all began to walk through the Bahulaban forest towards Sri Radha Kund. And as they were approaching Sri Radha Kund, although Janava Devi was very anxious to see the holiest of all places, Radha Kund, the prominent thing in her heart was to see Raghunath Das Goswami. Because we should know that to meet and to serve the great soul is actually the only means of proper entrance into the holy places. The holy places of Braja or Gauramandala Bhumi or anywhere for that fact, they reveal themselves only to the degree that we approach them through humble submissive service to the devotees. And Janava Devi, she worshipped and honored the great souls with such love that it was prominent in her heart. As she was approaching Sri Radha Kund, Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting in a secluded place chanting the holy names, weeping and crying. He was emaciated, he was so weak, he could not eat or sleep. He just chanted and cried day and night. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami would go to these, he would somehow or other make it to the kutir of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and just bow down again and again. This was his life, just chanting all day, and wherever there was a Vaishnav, he would somehow make it to where they were and just repeatedly offer dandavat obeisances. Crying, weeping, chanting and praying, and worshipping Vaishnavas. This was his entire life. And he is declared to be the Prayojana Acharya, the Acharya who gives entrance into the highest perfection of spiritual consciousness. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita right there on the banks of Radha Kund in very, very old age. He approached Raghunath Das Goswami and he said, "Ishwari has come. Janava Devi is just coming." And Raghunath Das Goswami, when he heard this, he just became alive in enthusiasm. And he got up, and as fast as he could possibly run, he couldn't run, but as fast as he could possibly move, he was just moving toward Janava Devi to greet her. And when Janava Devi saw Raghunath Das Goswami coming, struggling and straining to reach her, seeing the quality of his separation from the Lord, her eyes just flooded with tears. And she saw, although his body was in such a condition, the effulgence was like millions of suns due to his great devotion. And as they approached each other, they were both flooding tears of ecstatic love for one another through their eyes. And Raghunath Das just fell in the dust of the road at the feet of Janava Devi. And Janava Devi, according to the proper etiquette, she reciprocated and offered her obeisances to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And when the devotees saw the love of ecstatic spiritual quality between these two great personalities, everyone was simply falling on the ground, crying in love of Krishna, tumultuously chanting the holy names.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
when the residents of Aditya Gram, in which Radha Kund is situated, heard that Janava Devi had come, they all came forward to offer the best of everything they had to her. Offer her a nice place, offer her nice bhoga, offer her everything they could. And Janava Devi blessed them all. And she worshipped them all because she understood they were all Brijbasis. In this way she stayed in the holy of all holy places, Sri Radha Kund. And it is explained the discussions between Janava Devi and Raghunath Das Goswami, which took place in the association of all of the other Vaishnavas, was such a deep and pure and loving discussion that even the authors of books don't even dare to attempt to write what type of discussions took place. It was so filled with love for Lord Gaurasundar and Nityananda Prabhu. One day, it is explained, it was at noontime. Janava Devi was at Radha Kund, and she heard the sound of a flute, the ambrosial nectarine sound of Krishna's flute entered into her ears, into her heart. And she was looking this way and that to see where this flute sound was coming from. And then she saw under a kadamba tree were Shyam Sundar, the most beautiful form of the all-attractive personality of Godhead, standing in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. And the sound of the flute was permeating the entire atmosphere, but only Janava could hear it. He was playing just for her. And by his side was the most merciful personification of all love and devotion, Srimati Radharani. And surrounding them were Lalita and Vishakha and the most intimate Sakis, Manjaris and Gopis. And when Janava saw this beautiful sight, she fell to the ground unconscious. But she never told anyone what she had seen. And even to this day, at Sri Radha Kund, there is a kadamba tree where Sri Janava beheld this wonderful vision. If you remember, when we had our yatra, we sat under that tree and we had nice kirtan and harikatha. The devotees requested that she go to Govardhan Hill. And Janava Devi pleaded with Raghunath Das Goswami that you please lead us to Govardhan Hill. Because Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, in our sampradaya, he is the embodiment of bhakti to Govardhan. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally gave him the Govardhan Shila that Lord Chaitanya wore around his own neck and always kept moist with his tears of love. He saw that Govardhan Shila is none different than the body of Krishna. And he gave that Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami and taught him the process of worshipping it. And after Lord Chaitanya left the world, Raghunath understood that by giving me this Shila, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given me a place of residence at Govardhan Hill. So Raghunath Das Goswami was the very, very embodiment of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Although he was in the supreme, most exalted position of spiritual realization, he was the most humble person that could ever exist. He was the very personification of total humility. There was never the slightest tinge of trace of pride that could ever arise within his heart. He was always falling at the feet of the Vaishnavas and worshipping them. And in this mood, he was constantly chanting the holy names. So when Janava Devi said to Raghunath Das Goswami, I will go to Govardhan, but I am humbly requesting that you lead us. Even though he was not fit to hardly walk, when he heard this request, he began to cry and he fell down on the ground in the dust of the feet of Janava Devi, and just so gratefully accepted her order. And very slowly they approached Govardhan Hill. And then they went to Nandagram. And then she went back to Vrindavan. There she stayed in Vrindavan. And each day she would cook for the deities of Radha Govinda, different days. Every day she'd just spend so much loving energy cooking for each of the deities of the Goswamis. And then she would take that prasad and she would personally serve all the Vaishnavas. She would cook one day for Radha Govindaji, one day for Radha Gopinathji, one day for Radha Madan Mohan, another day she would cook for Radha Damodar, another day for Radha Vinod, and another day for Sri Radha Raman. She would make so many nice sabjis and rice, and she would serve it to the Vaishnavas. In this way, she brought ultimate happiness to everyone. And also, from Bengal, she brought many gifts. This is a beautiful song composed by Lord Nityananda. Today, she decided to go on a tour of all the 12 forests of Vrindavan, Brajabhumi. Lohavan, Madhuban, Talavan, Bandiravan, Bhadravan, Srivan, Mahavan, Vrindavan, Kamyavan, Bahulavan, Kamudavan. Any others? I said that first. Mahavan. So they went to all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And the Goswamis of Braja were showing her all the places. And she was, each place, each grain, each inch of land she was going was just increasing her transcendental remembrance of Radha and Krishna. When they went to Govardhan, she was sitting just near Govardhan Mountain, and she was meditating how Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, in their previous incarnation of Krishna and Balaram, would come during the springtime to Govardhan Hill to perform their Ras Leela. And she was meditating on this beautiful, beautiful pastime of the springtime Ras Leela. And as she was absorbed in meditation, right before her eyes, Krishna and Balaram appeared. And she saw Balaramji, who was her own beloved consort, Nitai. And Balaram had his own gopis. And they were having the festival of Holi. They were sprinkling each other and spraying each other with dyes of colors of, not dyes, colors of love. And as they were sprinkling and they were singing very beautifully and they were all dancing together. And then she saw Shamsundar Gopinath also with his gopis. And they were sprinkling each other with colors and having wonderful festivals bedecked with flowers and garlands everywhere, and they were singing and dancing together. In this way she witnessed the beautiful spring Ras Leela of Krishna and Balaram at Govardhan. And as she was seeing this, She became so intoxicated with love, tears flowing from her eyes, she fell unconscious. And when that scene disappeared, she was simply engrossed in separation from what she had seen. One day, Janava Devi, when she was traveling through Braja, she heard crying, and she went to the place, and there was a mother and father weeping and crying because their son had died. He was just a small child. And for Janava Devi, to hear the weeping of a Vaishnava was too much for her heart to bear. She understood these are all Brijabasis. Devotees cannot bear to see pain in the hearts of other devotees. Devotees cannot bear to see pain in anyone's heart, even the most sinful. Vasudev Dat prayed, "Let me go to hell so that the most sinful can stop suffering." What to speak of other Vaishnavas who have given their lives for the pleasure of Krishna? How could we bear to see them suffer? So Janava came over and she went to touch the head of the child, and the mother, who was just crying very loudly, she said, "Please do not touch. You will contaminate yourself. It is contaminating to touch a dead body." And Janava said, "Your son is a Brijabasi. He has the body of a Brijabasi. I am touching him to purify myself." And then she touched him. And then he became alive. And everyone started praising Janava for bringing this child back to life. Janava said, "This child is dear to Krishna. Krishna has done it. I have done nothing. I deserve no credit. It is all Krishna's grace." And then she traveled to Ramghat. Ramghat is the place that Balaram appeared to have his beautiful rasa dance with his gopis, and that is also the place where he moved the Jamuna with his plow. So while she was there at Ramghat, she was meditating on the leela of her beloved Lord Nityananda in his form of Balaram at the ghat that was named after him. Sitting there on the banks of the Ganges, by the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, she actually saw with her own eyes the beautiful ras dance of Balaram with his gopis as they were playing beautiful instruments decorated with wonderful forest flowers and singing and dancing so joyfully in ecstatic love. And when Janava was seeing her beloved Nityananda Prabhu Balaram enjoying so much, she was just beside herself in ecstasy of love. After doing the Braj Mandala Parikrama, they came back to the village of Vrindavan, and there she simply gave her darshan and her love to everyone. There was one devotee. His name was Badu. What was his name? Anyways, this particular devotee, he was the son of the eldest sister of Janava's mother, Bhadravati. And he became a disciple of Gauridas Pandit. And when Gauridas Pandit, who was the uncle of Janava Devi, when he left this world in separation from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, this devotee was just weeping and crying. He wanted to give up his life. But Gauridas Pandit appeared to him in a dream, and he told him, "You should go to where my samadhi is, and you should stay there, and you should worship me for the time being." So he went to Vrindavan, And if you remember, during our yatra in Vrindavan, at the place called Dhir Samir, under a beautiful tree is the Samadhi Mandir of Goridas Pandit. Dhir Samir, during Krishna's Ras Leela, when he played his flute, when it came to that place, the wind, being so enchanted by the flute, just became stunned and couldn't move. Therefore, it is called Dhir Samir. So Janava Devi went there and bestowed her great blessings upon him. One day, it was actually in the evening, she went to Radha Gopinath temple. And she was looking at the deities, and she saw that Gopinath is very big size, and Srimati Radharani is very small size. If you remember when we went to Jaipur, we saw. So he was thinking that Radharani is too small for Krishna. But she didn't say anything to anyone. She just thought that in her heart. Because this is the way they appeared. So that night, she saw the night arti of Radha Gopinathji. And then she went to take rest. And as she took rest, Lord Gopinath appeared to her. Sri Radha Gopinath ki. He's appearing to all of us at this time. So during her dream, Gopinath said to her, "What you are thinking is correct. Radharani is too small for me. My instruction to you and my desire is that when you go back to Godadesh, Bengal, that you construct another deity of Srimati Radharani that is suitable to my size and send him back for me to engage in eternal loving relations with." And then Srimati Radharani, she spoke to Janava Devi. And she said, "You should do what Gopinath said, because it is also my desire." So then she woke up, and she was meditating very deeply on making this how to make this beautiful deity to send back to Gopinath. The love between Janava Devi and these deities of Radha Gopinath is one of the most intimate and beautiful parts of our Gaudiya Vaishnava history. At a certain time, it was decided that she should return to Bengal to enliven and enthuse all the Vaishnavas there. And when the news came to the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and the Brijavasis, that Janava Devi was going to leave, their hearts were just beating in the pangs of the separation that was about to come upon them. And on the day she left, all of the Brijavasis, they were all weeping and crying and falling at her feet. And she was also weeping and crying and offering her great blessings and obeisances to all of them. And then she departed. But first she went to all the temples to say goodbye to the deities of Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Radha Vinod, Radha Raman, Radha Damodar. She went to Gopeshwar Mahadev, Lord Shiva's deity, and begged his permission for her to proceed on her journey. She went to the beautiful deity of Vrinda Devi of Srila Rupa Goswami and worshipped her and offered her goodbye. And Jiva Goswami could not leave her. He just followed with her all the way to Mathura. And then all the people of Mathura gathered around to serve her and to please her. And she spent the day in Mathura, and then she insisted that you all stay here. And with a heavy heart, Jiva Goswami had to say farewell. And then she proceeded back to Bengal. Lokanath Goswami gave so many messages to Narottam Das Thakur. Gopal Bhatta sent messages to Srinivasacharya, who were their disciples. And Janava Devi Parameshwar Das, who was her personal assistant, delivered those messages. And on her way back, she went to Khetri Gram. And there again, she met with Narottam Das Thakur and Santosh Dutt, and had wonderful kirtans with them, and explained to them about her journey to Vrindavan, and related all the messages. And then she went to Jajigram and met with Srinivas Acharya, and the wonderful relationship of respect and transcendental devotion that took place was very wonderful. And she went to Shikanda and met with Sri Raghunandan Thakur and gave various types of prasad and stories about Braj Leela and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas there. And she traveled to Katwa, the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Thinking of the ceremony, she actually fell unconscious in love. How the Lord sacrificed everything to give mercy to others. And then her and her entourage of Vaishnavas proceeded to the holy land of Ekachakra, the birthplace of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And as they proceeded on the road toward Ekachakra, they saw an old Brahmin just laying on the ground weeping and chanting the names of Nitai Chand. And they asked, "Can you tell us where is Ekachakra?" And with tears in his eyes, trembling due to old age and transcendental love and separation, he said, "I will bring you to Ekachakra. First sit down and let me tell you something about it." He explained, at one time, Ekachakra was a most beautiful, opulent place. Now look at it. It is in ruins. It is totally neglected. It looks practically like a ghost town. It's practically uninhabited. But at one time, the Pandavas lived here. They performed wonderful pastimes here. And great persons from the spiritual world descended to this place, and they made it the most beautiful, wonderful village, knowing that the Supreme Lord Sri Balaram will take birth here. And two eternal associates of the Lord of the name Hadai Oja and Padmavati, they lived here in Ekachakra. And they had several children, but each of their children died just after birth. So they prayed to the Lord for a beautiful child. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adi Gurudev, Balaramji, appeared as Nitai. And when he appeared as a baby infant, all auspiciousness just flooded everywhere. The rain started falling. Everything started growing. Opulence was just pervading. And everyone was delighted with transcendental pleasure. This child was so beautiful. His golden complexion, his body which was soft as butter. Everyone simply wanted to see him and hear him and embrace him. He was the life, the soul, the heart of everyone in Ekachakra, especially Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. And he began to explain so much wonderful information of the childhood Leela of Nityananda Prabhu. How he would enact all the pastimes of the various incarnations of the Lord when he was a little child with his friends. How his father could not bear separation from him, even for the blinking of an eye. And he said, "I was there. I witnessed all the pastimes of Nitai Chand from his birth. I had that fortune." And then the day came when that sannyasi came to Ekachakra and begged in charity from Hadai Pandit that he take his son on yatra with him. And Hadai Pandit could not refuse. And Nityananda Prabhu left with this great sannyasi not to return for many, many years. And as he left, the residents of Ekachakra were plunged in an ocean of grief, of separation. And he said, after that, we saw how Hadai Pandit and Padmavati went transcendentally crazy in separation. They could not eat or drink a drop of water. They could not sleep. They were just weeping and crying constantly. The only thing that kept them alive was the thought of Nityananda Prabhu. And Hadai Pandit, every day, at every moment, he was just waiting. He would just look down the road. That's the way he would spend most of his day. He was just looking down the road that Nityananda Prabhu left by, just expecting him, that day he will return. He was just a child. And sometimes he would see some movement on the road, and he would cry out to Padmavati, Nitai is returning! Nitai is returning! He's coming! He's come back! He cannot stay away from us! But then when he had not come back, he would just again be plunged in an ocean of grief. And sometimes he would say to Padmavati, Nitai, today he will come, I know it. Make his favorite prasadam. And at other times he would just hallucinate and see Nityananda Prabhu. Say, Nitai, come with me, don't go there, you may get hurt. In this way, the residents of Ekachakra saw the delirious condition of the ecstatic love of Hadai Pandit. But then Hadai Pandit, in separation, he left this world. And Padmavati left this world. And all the devotees, everyone who loved Ekachakra, they couldn't even bear to see the town of Ekachakra without Nityananda there. And gradually people were just leaving their bodies and leaving Ekachakra, and in this way now look at this town. It is practically uninhabitably and unmaintained. And whoever does survive here, they just weep and cry. They can no longer till their fields. They can no longer clean their houses. They are just immersed in the separation of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And then word had come that Nityananda Prabhu had left this world. What is the fate of this village of Ekachakra? And when Janava Devi was hearing this, she was very much in bliss. And then he said, let me take you on a parikrama, a tour of Ekachakra. And the old Brahmin started showing Janava Devi and her associates, this is the place where Lord Nityananda played on this tree. This is Padmavati Kund, where Nityananda Prabhu would every day come to bathe with his mother. And then they came to the house of Hadai Pandit, which was completely deserted. No one there. She said, this is the this is the blessed place where Hadai Pandit and Padmavati gave birth to Nityananda, the Supreme Lord who has come to deliver Prema Bhakti to the whole world. And this is the place where Padmavati fed the child with her own milk, and where he performed his beautiful pastimes and lived for the 12 years of his youth. And as she heard this, practically all the devotees were almost unconscious hearing the glories of Nityananda as he narrated them. So night came, and Padmavati decided to spend that night in the house of Padmavati and Hadai Oja, her mother and father-in-law. And while sitting in that house at night, she could not sleep. She was in too much of the ecstasy of separation. She began to think that I have heard the glorious pastimes of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. I never met them. I never saw them. They left this world before I ever married Nityananda. Such loving people. I never had the opportunity to receive their love or their affection as a daughter-in-law. And the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Lord Nityananda here in Eka Chakra, I was never able to see it or experience it. In this way, she began to cry and cry and cry. And at a most auspicious moment, before her very loving eyes, the most amazing darshan took place. Just before her was Hadai Pandit and Padmavati and Nityananda Prabhu. And she was actually able to see the wonderful childhood pastimes of Lord Nityananda with his mother and father. And then she saw Nityananda Prabhu as a grown person. And there, on his right and left, was Vishuddha and herself. She saw herself, Janava Devi. And there was Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. And they started embracing Janava Devi, embracing her and embracing her and showering tears upon her and treating her like their own daughter-in-law. In this way, in the association of her mother, father-in-law, and husband, she spent the whole night seeing this wonderful Leela and experiencing the love she always longed for. And then that beautiful vision disappeared. And she spent the rest of the night so grateful that her desire was fulfilled, but simultaneously unbearable that this vision was gone. In this way, Sri Bhakti Ratnakar describes Janava Devi's wonderful visit to Eka Chakra. And as she left that holy place, the Brahmin took them to the Moreshwar Mahadev Mandir, where Lord Nityananda Prabhu worshipped a beautiful deity of Lord Shiva. And he told the story of how at one time no one would come near that Shivalinga because there were thousands and thousands of deadly poisonous snakes living in the vicinity. And when Nityananda Prabhu was going there, everyone said, "No, do not go there. Anyone who goes near there will be killed by these snakes." But as soon as he went there, all the snakes offered their obeisances and left. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. And then the old Brahmin, after giving her a wonderful parikrama of Eka Chakra, along with her associates, when it was time for her to go, the Brahmin began to cry and weep. He said, "Why I am living, I do not know. My heart is simply longing. The only reason I survive is with the prayer that Nityananda Prabhu will return to Eka Chakra." He said, "I only have one prayer in my life, that birth after birth after birth after birth after birth, I suffer in separation of Nityananda taking birth here in Eka Chakra. That I will take birth again and again and again in Eka Chakra, simply waiting for that most glorious day when Sri Nityananda Prabhu returns to his home. And until that day, I just spend my whole life chanting the names of Lord Nithai. And I pray that at the time of death, Nithai Chand's holy name be upon my mouth and within my heart." Janava Devi then returned to Kardaha, her home. And there she told devotees that we must make this deity of Srimati Radharani for Gopinath in Braja. So she arranged the proper people, and she very, very personally oversaw every detail of this deity being made. And when the deity of Srimati Radharani was complete, she took her prominent assistants, headed by Parameshwari Das, and she arranged for a beautiful boat. And she put the deity of Radharani on that boat. And then she brought beautiful jewels and cloths for all the deities in Vrindavan to be given. Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Vinod, Radha Damodar, Radha Raman. We are very happy to say these names over and over again. And as everyone boarded the boat on a very auspicious day, Janava Devi offered her prostrated obeisances to Srimati Radharani and prayed to Lord Gopinath in the core of her heart, "Please make the journey of your beloved Srimati Radharani very safe and comfortable back to your lotus feet in Vrindavan." This is a very, very special leela of the Lord, because in her eternal form as Ananga Manjari, Gopi, the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, who was always immersed in being present in the most intimate, confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna, eternally. It is her sole and exclusive thought to always be making arrangements to bring Radha and Krishna together for their enjoyment. So here Janava Devi was allowed to enact her eternal leela of making wonderful arrangements to bring Radha and Krishna, Radha and Gopinath together for their transcendental enjoyment. She sent message to Srinivasacharya and others and said that the deity of Srimati Radharani and all the devotees will be stopping in Katwa at the bathing ghat and the Ganga. So they all came and met and had beautiful darshan of Srimati Radharani and gave whatever gifts they could to be brought to Vrindavan. And very smoothly this transcendental voyage took place. The boat went up the river Ganga to Prayag, and there at the confluence went into the holy river Jamuna and ultimately came to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And there, with great, great, great jubilation, Janava's deity of Sri Gopinath, of Sri Radharani, was installed beside Lord Gopinath. And the message was sent to Janava Devi of what a wonderful, wonderful festival took place there. Sometime later, Janava Devi was feeling such ecstatic love from Lord Gopinath that she again went all the way to Vrindavan just to worship, to associate with the Goswamis, to give her darshan, and to worship the beautiful form of Radha Gopinath. When Janava Devi disappeared from this world to return to the eternal abode, it is explained that she entered into the form of the small deity of Radharani on the side of Gopinath. And now that deity is worshipped as Ananga Manjari or Janava Devi. If you remember when we went to Radha Gopinath temple, on the left side of Lord Gopinath is the beautiful large deity of Srimati Radharani, the Janava maid, And on the right side is Janava Devi herself, in her eternal form as the younger sister of Radharani Ananga Manjari. And to this very day, she is worshipped in that form. Janava Devi was the embodiment of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy upon the most fallen souls. And the great acharyas, how much they hold her in their hearts with the highest esteem. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his beautiful song in praise of the holy places of Vrindavan, he worships Janava Devi at the end of that wonderful song, declaring himself to be the humble servant of the servant of Janava Devi. And throughout the beautiful poems of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, there are wonderful, wonderful prayers at the lotus feet of Janava Devi. In fact, in one beautiful song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes how this material world is a place of such suffering and grief, and how Vrindavan is the transcendental land of supreme happiness, and how unfortunate he was to be in this world of duality. And he prays in this song, "My only shelter is the lotus feet of Sri Janava Devi, the consort of Nityananda Prabhu, because by her mercy, by her grace, Vrindavan could be revealed in my heart." So on this very holy day, we should pray at the lotus feet of our spiritual masters, the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and all the great acharyas, that we could forever aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of such great, great personalities as Srimati Janava Devi. She is the pleasure potency of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the embodiment of supreme mercy. So any sadhana, any seva that we perform on these holy days has very extra potency. Because any way we engage in Krishna consciousness on these days, on this day, we will personally receive the blessings of Sri Janava Devi, who is eternally the guide, the protector of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So let us very sincerely serve the Vaishnavas and chant the holy names. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Radha Gopinath.